Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making Hestery. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. And we're glad to be back.
We are.
Another Friday. quick recap. I know we haven't had a ton happen this week, but we've had a few things.
Yeah.
A few notable things.
Yeah, we had family table night at church, which was always fun.
Yeah.
Which is always fun.
Yeah. So a couple times a year, usually ends up being maybe three times a year, around Thanksgiving and then around Christmas and then Easter. We'll do like a Good Friday thing. But we'll, instead of having service, because our church meets at 4 p.m. on Sundays, and so we're in the evening. And so a couple times a year, we will cancel service and we'll host just like a big dinner for the church.
Yeah.
And we've done it a few different ways. We've had it catered in the past. This time, we kind of broke it up within each individual community group within the church.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was responsible for contributing to just their community's dinner.
Right. Everybody bring your own, figure out what kind of food you guys want and make it happen.
And it's so fun. It's like, I guess they've been getting requests from people to do this like once a month.
Yeah.
Because it's so fun to just be, and it feels very like home churchy, Acts churchy.
Yeah, it does.
To just gather around a giant table together and just eat as friends in a big family.
Yeah. Yeah, just how it should be. It just feels, you know, it feels right. It feels genuinely like family.
Yeah.
That you want to be with and want to spend time with.
Yep.
That's pretty great.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we've got a friend coming, a good friend of ours. His name is Fisher, and he's just like a handyman.
Mm-hmm.
Can kind of build anything, do anything.
Figure out how to do any type of home task,
fix or upgrade or renovate or build.
Yeah,
he can do all that stuff. And in our house, between like our living room / dining room area and our kitchen, there's like this really big open doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since we've lived in this house, we've always thought like this would look so great if it was arched.
Yeah.
So it's happening.
It's happening. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's going to give our house a really nice added level of character.
For sure.
Because this house is pretty just like basic. There's not a whole lot of like fun, like unique character to it. You know, like we've added some things here and there.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's going to be a really big, just, I don't know, make it cozy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've done some just new fun things with the girls this week.
Yeah. So both of them, I mean, the weather is awesome right now out. Mm-hmm. It's like perfect in the 60s, low 70s. And so we're outside a lot. And I think, I can't even remember when we had even mentioned this, but Nora and I have been going on runs together.
Mm-hmm.
So Nora is 6, almost 7, but she is a tank when it comes to like, when it comes to running, she's got a lot in her. And it surprised me the first couple times we did it. I was like, are you really going to be able to run this far? Because I expected us to run like 100 yards and her be like, I'm so tired, you know, but she's can go like longer than I can sometimes. I'm like, okay, I need to take a break, please.
Wow.
And then Izzy, you know, since Nora and I are getting our time, she's like, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So we've been going on walks with just me and Izzy too. So getting separate little girl time there has been really fun.
Yeah.
And they're loving it. Nora just like has the biggest smile on her face as we're running down the hill in our neighborhood.
So funny.
Just like, this is so awesome.
Yeah. It really is just like anything you can do to just get some one-on-one time with them.
Yeah.
Even something as awful as running,
right,
is just like the best thing for them.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been really sweet. And it's also just, it's a really fun time for us to talk and, you know, have real conversation that maybe we wouldn't think to throughout the day. And
yeah,
it's just like today, even Nora and I were talking, what did she say? the sentence that she said was so cute. And then she said it was her favorite sentence ever. She said, beautiful things are even more beautiful when they're together because there's, oh no, that wasn't it. There's something about beautiful things being together and then being even more beautiful because they're together.
Yeah.
It was just so cute because it just, it was so genuine because wow. She was picking up little like flowers and fun leaves and rocks along the way when we were taking walking breaks. And she was like, I just love beautiful things. And then we got, you know, wow. That just spurred on conversation about how God created all these things for us to enjoy. And I was like, you know what I think about all these beautiful things? And she was like, what, that even if, you know, even if it wasn't beautiful, that we would still think it was beautiful. And I was like, well, in a way, I was like, but I think that God created the world so beautifully for us to enjoy it because he loves us so much. And she was like, yeah, I think you're right. And I was like, what would you think if like there wasn't any color and no like fun flowers and leaves to look at? And she was like, I think we'd still like it. I was like, you're probably right.
Okay.
I love your heart on these things.
That is amazing.
It was just such a sweet conversation spurred on by her picking up random stuff in people's yards.
Love that. Random little flowers.
Yep.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet.
Okay. Well, speaking of kids and doing things with our kids intentionally, let's talk about raising kids that you like to be around.
Yep.
And I'm going to throw this in there. It's raising kids that you like to be around, but also raising kids that other people like to be around.
For sure. Yep.
And honestly, like it benefits everybody.
Yeah.
When you have kids that are enjoyable to be around, it benefits your kids because their presence is actually desired.
Right.
And we'll talk about this in a little bit, but kids start to notice that younger than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like it benefits the people that our kids are subjected to.
Because
the reality is that we are around a lot of people, friends, church friends, family, and our kids are a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I know that. So my family lives around us.
Yeah.
Your family's pretty spread out around the country, but my family all lives within like 20 minutes of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so our kids spend a decent amount of time with them, with my parents, with their cousins. And I just know that like it is so much easier for my parents to have them knowing that they're fun,
right.
That they're well-behaved, that they're kind.
Yeah.
And so like everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They get to have fun with them. They don't, you know, have like a, whenever we say, hey, can you watch the kids?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, when that enjoyment is reciprocated, it's just, like you said, better for everybody.
Yep.
Everybody has fun. Nobody's like, ugh, I don't want to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking forward to them coming.
Yeah.
So it's much better.
Yeah. And this isn't something that happens by accident necessarily, because when parents take a more like passive approach to parenting and when they take like a weaker form of authority, when they're conflict avoidant, when they don't want to discipline, and that could be for various reasons. But when that happens, kids don't grow up having a grid for what type of behavior is acceptable or desired. They just don't.
Yeah.
They don't grasp that.
Right.
And unfortunately, what happens is it kind of becomes this uphill battle for them. So here's what like psychology and neuroscience says. And this shocked me when I first heard about this. And like I've done some reading, and from what I understand, it seems pretty clear that the research literature on this says that social desirability starts to matter for kids around the age of 4.
Which is crazy.
That's really young.
That's so young.
Yeah.
You would think they had no idea what's going on around them at that age.
But what happens is it's around that age that like cognitively and developmentally, they start to differentiate the differences in behavior among their peers, right?
Okay.
The kids that they're around.
Mm-hmm.
And so even at the age of 4, which Izzy is coming up on that age.
Yeah.
She will start to identify the kids that she likes to be around versus the kids she doesn't like to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be based on their behavior. Do they play well? Are they sharers?
Mm-hmm.
Do they fight a lot?
Right.
You know, so they'll start to recognize that. And at the age of 4, they'll start to identify, these are the kids I like to hang out with. These are the kids I don't.
Yeah.
And so this is something that, like, parents of young kids, maybe people who are not even yet parents,
mm-hmm.
need to think about very seriously and take an intentional approach to.
Yeah.
Because from that point, it's an uphill battle. Mm-hmm. Like, I've read the most about this from Jordan Peterson,
mm-hmm.
who's just...
We love him.
I like him a lot.
Yes.
I like to listen to him. I think he's somebody who we can take his research and his understanding.
Right.
He's pretty solid.
He's done a bit. He's done quite a bit of research.
Yeah. And he talks about this very thing. And he talks about how, like, parents have a pretty short window to really think about this before you start working, like, against the grain.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Because when a kid turns 4 and they're 5 and 6 and some of these, like, undesirable behavioral traits don't get... kids don't experience correction. They don't experience discipline.
Mm-hmm.
They don't experience guidance. They don't experience, like, modeled desirable behavior. All of a sudden, there's kind of this thing where it becomes, like, a much harder thing to work out once mm-hmm. they kind of cross that barrier.
Sure. It's like you're swimming upstream from that point on, because those behaviors are so, probably so ingrained in them that they're like, well, this has been okay for me up until now, so why would I do anything differently?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, they're not going to come up with different behaviors on their own
mm-hmm.
if you've not corrected what they've done up until then.
Especially because if you think about what a kid wants, what are they motivated by? Mm-hmm. What are their desires? They're pretty selfish.
Oh, sure.
And so life is all about them.
Mm-hmm.
What's fun for them?
Right.
Getting what they want.
Yep.
And if their behavior towards other kids looks like being mean, being aggressive,
mm-hmm.
taking what you want, doing whatever you want without regard for how your behavior is affecting anybody else, if you are not corrected, if they're not corrected, then what'll happen is they'll start to believe that their behavior is that not only that it's not desirable, they may grow up thinking that it's good.
Mm.
Right. Because at that age, it's actually working for them.
Right.
It's helping them and aiding them in their drive
mm-hmm.
to build a life that is just built around them and their immediate desires and getting whatever they want whenever they want it.
Yeah. Which looks a lot like bullying.
Yeah, sure.
So that can get scary real quick
mm-hmm.
if it's not addressed. Because, I mean, no parent wants a kid that's a bully. You know, like, of course you want a kid who can stand up for themselves, who can be firm in their beliefs, but you don't want somebody who's going to be really aggressive and really like,
mm-hmm.
this is what I want and I'm going to get it no matter what it takes. This is what I think. I'm going to make you think what I think no mm-hmm. matter what it takes. And that is, like, just such a scary mindset to allow a child to have, because it can get out of hand really quick. Because if they can get away with hitting a kid one time,
mm-hmm.
then do you think they're going to do it again?
Right.
Absolutely, they will.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, well, that worked before, so I might as well do it again. And then that can escalate so quickly and, like, snowball into, you know, throwing a toy or pinching or whatever it looks like, you mm-hmm. know? So it's something that is more serious than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for us, it's living in the tension of understanding that kids are going to do kid things.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do all those undesirable things.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hit. They're going to be annoying.
Right.
They're going to break stuff.
Yep.
And it's living the tension of understanding that they're going to do those things, but they need to be told and they need to be taught
mm-hmm.
that that's not the way.
Right.
That's not the way we do things.
Mm-hmm.
And that is certainly not going to serve you well in life.
Right. Yeah. Not going to get you anywhere that you actually want to go.
Mm-hmm. And there are a couple different reasons why parents may take this approach. On one hand, I think you have parents who are worried that maybe their kids won't like them
mm.
if they're, you know, the bad guy.
Sure.
The ones who bring discipline, who bring correction. But it's actually the exact opposite, I find, because kids start to recognize when their parents are passive, when their parents are weak. And kids will start to feel in charge. And what happens is parents may think, oh, I just want to be friends with my kids. I don't want them to see me as, you know, the bad guy ever. But kids don't respect parents who don't discipline.
Right.
And for some parents, that feels backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's absolutely the case.
Right. They're not going to respect you if you just roll over to their every demand and every request. It's like, oh, okay, sure, anything you want. Or if they instantly start throwing a tantrum because you said, oh, no, we're not right now. And you're like, oh, never mind. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to lose respect extremely fast.
And that happens really young.
Yeah.
Like if even like a two or three-year-old, if they know that they can get what they want by throwing a tantrum, they will start to think really early on that they're the ones that are in charge.
Yeah.
And if a young kid thinks that they're the ones that are in charge, they're not going to respect the parents.
Mm-mm.
And now here's where this becomes really interesting. There is this thought in leadership that if you are in any form of leadership, that could be us as parents. It could be somebody who's a business owner or a boss. Just if you have authority and if you're in leadership, the influence that you have over the people you're leading is in direct correlation to the value that they have for you and your leadership.
Mm. Yeah.
So if we want to have influence in our kids' lives, then we need to find a way to be the type of parents that our kids respect and that they value. If our kids don't value our role as the authority figures, if they don't value what it is we're trying to teach them, what it is that we're modeling for them, the vision that we are casting for our lives and their lives and who they could become.
Yeah.
If they don't see the value in that, we won't have influence over them.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, parents get caught in this cycle of they've been passive, they've been weak, the kids think they're in charge, therefore they don't respect the parents.
Right.
And that means the parents are losing the influence that they have over their kids. But there are still going to be moments where even if you're passive, if you have very weak, overly gentle parenting, there are still going to be times where you're going to act. You're going to snap. Something is going to cause that.
Yeah.
And because you don't have influence, you'll end up trading that influence for control.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you may become like a really controlling parent.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, kids don't respect that either.
They do not.
And so, like on both far sides of the spectrum, if you're a really overbearing, controlling, punishing parent, kids don't respect that. If you're too weak, too passive, kids don't really care about what you say. They don't believe you.
Right.
Then they don't respect that either.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's got to be a way for us to find like a happy medium,
right?
To find a healthy balance in between those,
to
where, like we've taught earlier on this podcast, that kids are created with freedom to choose and to act. And so they can do dumb things. They have the freedom to do that, but it's living in the tension of knowing they have the freedom to do that, but we're not going to permit them to.
Right.
And so we will discipline and we will correct. And we probably need to do a couple episodes on this, that there's a difference between discipline and punishment. And that understanding that is crucial.
Super, super important.
To all of this.
Yes.
But sometimes just thinking about that pendulum, like sometimes parents, maybe in our generation, let's say they grew up with parents who were the more controlling, overbearing type.
Yeah.
Right? Angry, punishing. Oftentimes there is like a desire to offer a different experience to right to their kids. And so it's like if somebody had parents that were like that, controlling, overbearing, if they want to offer a different experience to their own kids, in an attempt to do that, they may overcorrect.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you see parents who are like, just like we've been describing.
Yeah.
Conflict avoidant.
Right.
Never want to be the bad guy.
Please don't do that.
Yes.
Okay, I said don't do that.
Maybe we should talk about that one specific thing that, like, I've tried not to do. I think we're pretty good about this overall.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard other people talk about this too. Like, it's possible. This may be another Jordan Peterson thing, actually. Okay. But kids don't respect parents when they talk down to them
mm-hmm.
with that like sweet babyish voice.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I get it. Mm-hmm. I get that they're young and they're little and you wanna try to soften the blow
sure.
of being the parent
yeah.
by changing the way you talk to your kids
yeah.
with this kind of like weird, gentle, super soft.
Yeah.
But like in our experience and from what I've seen, kids don't respond to that well.
No. No, it's when the adult voice comes back in that they're like, oh no. They're like, oh,
yeah.
She's serious or he's serious about mm-hmm. this. Yeah, but that baby voice, it's almost like they just tune it out.
Well.
Or they just know that like, I'm still pretty far off from like the action point.
Right.
Like we talked about in a yeah, previous episode.
The action point,
like,
right.
Yeah, we're getting there, but
right.
you know,
yeah,
I've got
dad's using his baby voice. And so I yeah. can probably keep doing whatever I want until he changes back to
mm-hmm.
angry voice,
yeah.
you know?
Yep.
And so like, I've tried to be intentional about just talking to our kids, no mm-hmm. matter what age they are, just normally.
Yeah.
Right. I don't change my voice for them.
Right.
I say, hey, there was something. Oh yeah. So today, Izzy was, you were trying to put Oliver down for a nap upstairs mm-hmm. and me and Izzy were in the living room, which is directly below
yeah.
Ollie's bedroom. And she was having herself a little dance party,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Yeah.
I was working on something, entertain yourself with a dance party. I love that. Go right ahead. And mm-hmm. so she, you know, found the music she wanted on the TV. She put it on. She's yeah. dancing around. But then she got up on the couch and she jumped off.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this, I think, with our house, that like anything that like shakes the floors
right.
is just so loud.
You
if
hear
you're
it
directly,
yeah.
even you guys being above,
right.
somehow it's still like so loud.
Yep.
And so I just told her like, hey, mom's putting Ollie down. Like, I need you to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
However I said it, it was something like that.
Yeah.
And so she's like, yeah, no problem. And she just keeps dancing.
Yep.
And I think she just forgot quickly
mm-hmm.
because she didn't seem, it didn't seem defiant. It just seemed like, well, this is a dance this party.
Part of the dance party.
I'm going to
yeah.
jump.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump off stuff.
Yeah.
And so she did it again. And so I looked at her and I was like, hey, I didn't go, Izzy, mm-hmm. baby, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I just looked yeah. at her and I said, hey, I said, mom's trying to put Ollie down. I said, if you jump again, I'm going to turn the music off.
Yeah.
And that was all I said.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? She didn't jump again.
Oh, shocker.
Message received.
Yep.
I didn't talk down to her.
Right.
But I let her know, hey, like I tried to communicate two things. I love that you're having a dance party.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
Dance the whole day away if you want
right.
to. But don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
If yeah. you can, like, if we can do those two things together, great. If
yep.
you can dance without jumping, I love that. If you can't do that, I'm going to turn it off. And mm-hmm. I hate that for you.
Right. It'll be a bummer.
But
yeah, fun's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even an Isabel type who is more likely to push the boundaries,
mm-hmm.
she's more likely to test whether or not we're serious.
Yeah.
She respects that and she
yes.
understands, okay, dad's serious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's, and Nora too, but they've learned to respond when we say things the first time
mm-hmm.
because there isn't this like long drawn out process to where we get to our action point.
Right.
And so if I were to turn into that like sweet, kind of weird, gentle voice,
yeah,
talk to her like she's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
If I do that and she continues to jump and then all of a sudden she does it 4, 5, 6 times
mm-hmm.
and then I'm like so angry.
Right.
Right. That's teaching her, again, we've talked about this, but that's teaching her that I don't have to worry about what dad says
mm-hmm.
or mom says until they reach this certain point.
Yes.
But with our girls, we don't have to get loud or angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, hey, I need this to stop. So if you can stop on your own, great. If not, I'm going to turn the music off.
Right.
So I'll, like, balls in your court. Mm-hmm. Do with that what you will. Yep. But like, you jumping isn't the move anymore.
Mm-hmm. And they've learned to respond that way because we've stayed consistent.
Yeah.
So that's such a key in creating these desirable habits in your kids and these mm-hmm. desirable behaviors in your kids is to be consistent every single time.
Yes.
You have to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it will take multiple times with certain kids. Some kids, like Nora, I feel like we literally had to tell her once or twice what the rules were. And she was like, all right, got it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do this forever until yep. you tell me differently. You know, and even when we would tell her differently, sometimes she'd be like, but no, these are the rules. I'm like, okay, well, the rules can change.
Yeah.
But going back to my point, being consistent mm-hmm. is so important. So they have learned that we mean what we say when yep. we ask them the first time because they have done it again and we have turned the music off mm-hmm. in certain instances. That time today didn't have to happen because she knows that you were being serious.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be times when you're teaching your kids these things that they will have to have that consequence
yeah.
of whatever you've presented of like, hey, either let's not do this or the music's going to go off. Or, hey, either keep the Play-Doh at the table like we've used in examples mm-hmm. or we're going to put it away.
Yep.
And we have actually done those things.
Mm-hmm.
We have put the Play-Doh away. We've turned the music off. We have turned the show off. We have taken away the certain snack, you know, whatever yep. the consequence may be. We have done all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how they know that when we ask them to do something,
yeah,
that like if they don't do it,
yeah,
what we say is going to happen is actually going to happen.
Yeah. And when kids push back and they test the boundaries
yeah.
and they knowingly and willingly do the same thing that you've mm-hmm. asked them not to do, that's not like, don't be quick to label your kid as bad for doing that.
Right.
They genuinely want to know, is mom legit? Is yes. dad legit? Do they actually mean what they say
mm-hmm.
or not? Because right. if not, then I'll know that I can keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'll get away with whatever I want. But if so, they do it,
yeah.
that's building their respect for you because they can trust your word.
Yeah, you're building trust.
They understand that you mean what you say in the good times and the bad times. Mm-hmm. Like when this is a consequence, when this is a bad consequence, mom means it. When this is a good consequence, mom means it. You yeah. know, so like just let your word be mm-hmm. true. Let your word, stand up to what you say. Actually yeah. follow through with what you say.
Yeah. And you can be firm mm-hmm. without being unkind.
Absolutely.
And in fact, I think we have found that the quicker we are to back up what we say,
mm-hmm.
the less opportunity there is for it to get to a place where we are angry,
yeah.
explosive, emotionally escalated.
Yes.
Right. And so yeah. like we're very firm with our kids,
mm-hmm.
but we're not unkind about it.
No.
I'm remembering this past week when we were at staff meeting at church.
Mm-hmm.
So we always have the girls and Ollie too, but he just sits there. So we always have the kids with us and the girls are great. And yeah. honestly, like when you take this seriously while they're young and you will think really intentionally and actively on what it looks like to raise socially desirable kids. Mm-hmm. If you go about that, you'll end up with kids who you don't really have to think about what they're doing.
Yes.
Because you know that you can trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. They're
it is.
6 years old and they're 3 years old.
Yeah.
They could be anywhere in that building. And I don't even for a second wonder if they're doing something
Mm-mm.
that is like too dangerous or doing something that is destructive.
Right.
Because they have just been raised to yeah. know like what is good, what is acceptable, mm-hmm. what is desirable.
Yeah.
But there was a moment where they both had a lollipop in their mouth
mm-hmm.
and I just kind of saw them by the side of my eye and I looked over and Izzy was running across the room. So mm-hmm. I got her attention and I just reminded her like, hey baby, we don't run with lollipops in our mouth.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, I don't remember if at that point I communicated the consequence, mm-hmm. which would be like, I'm going to throw it away.
Right.
Because I'm unwilling to let you be unsafe.
Right.
Because if she trips and falls and that thing goes,
right.
you know.
It could seriously injure her.
And so that's not something I'm really wanting to risk.
Right. We're not going to play with that.
And so I got her attention, just let her know immediately, hey, that's not going to cut it. You mm-hmm. know, please don't run with the lollipop.
Yep.
And so they kind of went later on back across the room. And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw her again take just a few running steps. And then she stopped herself like dead in her tracks. And she kind of glanced over at me. And then we made eye contact. I just kind of gave her a look like,
you know,
like, yeah, like I saw that. Yeah. Thank you. You know,
yep.
Thank you for stopping. Mm-hmm. And I never saw her run again.
Yep.
But it was just this moment of like, she never doubted that. And maybe for some parents that sounds mean, but she never doubted that dad will literally walk over, grab my lollipop and throw it in the trash if he catches me running with it.
Right.
She knows that. Mm-hmm. And so she is put in a place where she's having to decide, do I want to have a lollipop and walk? Or do I want to run and risk dad catching me and throwing it away?
Yeah.
And so our kids have learned to believe us.
Mm-hmm.
They trust us and we don't have to get angry. That's not to say that like we're always these like happy smiling.
Right.
Like sometimes kids, you know, will push you to a point.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Spend a lot of time like, with them.
Nah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But it happens a lot less often the more you help them become people that you like to be around.
Yes.
Right? If they're going to be living in our house for 18 plus years,
mm-hmm.
I would like for them to be enjoyable to be around.
Right. I want to hang out with these people.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to be like, oh, please just turn 18. You don't want to be like begging for that day to come
mm-hmm.
because then what joy are you going to find in those years that you have your kids
mm-hmm.
and like, what are you going to miss out on? Mm-hmm. I guess is a better way to say it. Like what joys are you going to miss out on having if you are just waiting until they leave
mm-hmm.
because you don't like these humans that you have enabled to become this way.
Yeah.
So the better option for sure is to help them become desirable human beings to be around.
Yeah.
Like there are a lot of compliments that, you know, like anybody enjoys getting compliments,
mm-hmm.
but I honestly think some of the best compliments that we've gotten have just been about our kids and like the most, like that really means like the most meaningful compliments I think that we receive
mm-hmm.
have just been like, your kids are so nice to be around. Like we've had people tell us that, like,
mm-hmm.
I really enjoy being with your kids. Like, mm-hmm. and you know, I don't believe in like you want to see a kid, not hear that. Or what's that saying that it's like?
Seen but not heard. Yeah.
Like, I don't love that.
Yeah.
I understand it, but I don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there have been times where like at staff meeting, for example, that like you wouldn't even know that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because we've explained like, hey, this is important time that like we're meeting about like church stuff and we're having conversation. And so we need you to like be quiet.
Yep.
And so they know
to
like keep their voices down. It's not like we're telling them like, if you make a sound, like you're out of here, you know, like we've just explained like, hey, we need you to be calm. We need you to be quiet. You can read, you can play quietly. You can run around and be silly, but all at like a low volume. Yeah.
Or if you need to be a little bit louder, go to a different room.
Right.
But if you want to be around us in this room,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to be quiet.
Right. And that's not like something that is always the case
because
they know that they have the freedom when we get home to be wild and crazy. When we go to the park, have at it.
Yep.
Scream, be silly, be wild.
Yeah.
Let it out. But we have taught them that like there are times to be super disciplined and to be quiet and just to be, you know, different than we are at the park.
Yeah.
You know, you're not always allowed to be crazy and, you know, letting all your wiggles out. Like sometimes there are times to be still and quiet, and that's not being mean. That's not taking away their freedoms. That's teaching them discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the end, everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll put in the hard work and, you know, if anybody is listening to this, who's a parent and your kids are older over the age of 4.
Yeah.
I wouldn't ever want anyone to take this to mean that like, well, you missed it.
Right.
Nothing you can do at this point. I wouldn't ever want that to be the case.
No.
But, you know, primarily we're aiming this at young parents or not yet parents.
Yeah.
Just to say, like, this is such a crucial time. Mm-hmm. Those first couple years. Really, I mean, we could say the first 7 years. Because by the time they're 7, they've formed, you know, their core beliefs.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in future episodes too.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a crucial time. And so don't be passive. Don't just let things happen, but be really proactive in casting a vision for who you want your kids to become, mm-hmm. what you want them to be like.
Yeah.
And then you need to do two things. Make sure that you are also that for right. them.
Yeah, for sure.
Because kids respond way better to what they see than to what they hear. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. do your best to become that, mm-hmm. but then also don't permit them to do things that will cause you to not like them.
Yeah. And explain why too. Yeah. Like there have been conversations that we've had with Nora, not with Izzy yet. Like as Nora's gotten a bit older, and said like, hey, like, would you like to be around somebody that yeah. does A, B, and C? Mm-hmm. And she's like, no. It's like, okay, well, that's what you're doing.
Right.
So if you don't want to be around somebody like that, do you think other people want to be around you when yeah. you do that? Like, it's amazing how, like, when you're just, like, straight up with your kids, mm-hmm. how well they receive it. Like, don't be a jerk. Mm-hmm. Be kind. Do it in kindness and in love. But, like, explain to them why it's important to have these desirable behaviors mm-hmm. and not just be like, well, it's just good. You know, like yeah. a kid's not going to take that and be like, okay, well, this is really important. Mm-hmm. Like show them the value in it. Like you were saying earlier, show them the value in those qualities.
Yep.
Explain why this, like the desirable behavior is better than the undesirable behavior. Mm-hmm. Show them examples, you know, like just don't be afraid to explain
yeah.
that like you want your kid to be fun to be with. Mm-hmm. Like that's a good reason to teach
yeah.
these qualities. And I think your kid will understand that mm-hmm. too of like, hey, like I want people to want to be with you. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're going to act like this and not like this.
Yeah. I want you to have friends.
Yeah.
And I want you to go places yes. and feel that your presence is welcome.
Right.
And in order to do that, you're like what you're doing right now isn't going to get you there.
Right.
And so,
yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. It's finding ways to have those conversations without being mean, mm-hmm. but just being like honest.
Yeah.
Like really honest in love. Mm-hmm. I love you too much to not bring attention to this.
Right.
I love you way too much to not confront what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's not to say like nitpick every little thing. Like kids are going to have their quirks.
Yeah.
Let them be themselves. Let them mm-hmm. be unique. Don't shut down
yep.
things that like just are who they are mm-hmm. at all. Like we never want to do that. But, you know, if they're smacking kids and
yeah.
yanking toys out of other kids' hands or making up stories about another kid, you know, like those are the types of behaviors that mm-hmm. can be addressed without squashing somebody's personality.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. There are a couple thoughts here, and we can probably wrap this up. Okay. But there are like these two principles when it comes to implementing rules mm-hmm. with kids. And the first one is try not to have more rules than you actually need. Mm-hmm. Because bad rules will cause people, not just kids, but this could be with adults with stupid laws that are put in place.
Sure.
But bad rules will cause people to lose respect for even the good rules. And yeah. so really think about like, what are the things that are most important? Mm-hmm. You don't want to become overbearing and controlling.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be on the other side where you're passive and anything goes, super permissive. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be rules and there needs to be standards, but maybe think about practically what that looks like for you and your family. Mm-hmm. The second principle is enforce those rules with the least amount of force necessary to accomplish it. So like when our girls are doing something, even like with Izzy jumping off the couch, mm-hmm. making that really loud boom sound
yeah.
when you're trying to put Oliver down for a nap. I didn't jump to like an extreme consequence.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm going to turn the music off. Mm-hmm. And to me, that felt like that was the least amount that I had to do in order for her to receive the message that mm-hmm. like, if I jump again, this isn't going to be as fun for me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And I think a lot of that comes back to what we've talked about in previous episodes. And if this is your first time with us, go ahead and jump back. We've covered some really
right back to the beginning.
We covered some really good stuff. But yeah. in some of the more recent episodes, we've talked about this idea that I think it's easy to have a vision for who we want to be as parents. We don't want to be the angry, emotionally escalated parent. We don't want to be unkind. We don't want to be rushed and hurried, and we don't want to be all those things. But sometimes we are. Mm-hmm. And so there is this reality that we need to experience an internal transformation to where we have the capacity to just naturally be the people we want to be and naturally do the things that we desire to do.
Yeah.
And so, like, we want to be kind to our kids. We want to be gentle and patient and understanding.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for that reason, we love the gospel. We love Jesus. We love the Holy Spirit. We love that he's able to do those things in us. Mm. So, you know, there's that element of it. But yeah, like, at the end of the day, our kids are watching us. They're going to learn a lot from how we act, from how we treat them, from how we treat other people. And yeah. And it's, you know, I think a lot of people just need to think about what this looks like for their individual families.
Sure.
With their individual kids.
Right. Because it's going to look different from family to family.
Sure.
The overall principles are going to stay the same.
Yeah.
If that's what you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to tailor it to your family and see what is the, what your values are, and then line up those rules and boundaries with those values.
Yeah. And help your kids understand that, like, you're not just playing the bad cop, annoying fun stopper or party pooper, just be, you know, for no reason.
Yeah, right.
Like, you, your role as a parent is so unbelievably crucial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those, especially those early years, are so formative. And so kids need parents who love them enough to tell them what's good and what's not.
Yeah.
Who love them enough to confront poor behavior, undesirable behavior, and to teach them and model for them what is better and more excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not being a bad parent by correcting them.
Yeah.
You're being a much better parent.
Yeah.
By correcting them and letting them know, like, hey, this isn't going to work out for you very well.
Yep.
So maybe let's do this instead. And not just correcting them, but helping them see an alternate way of doing things too. Because I think a lot of times, and, you know, there are going to be moments of just like, we can't do that. You know, like, there are more urgent situations of, like, if your kid's running out to the street, you don't have to take time to explain, you know, like, if you do this. But, you know, most of the time there is room for the explanation of, like, okay, like, instead of doing this, let me show you a better way.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be Father God's heart towards us too. Mm-hmm. Well, I know it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Instead of just saying, don't do that.
Yeah.
It's always, but walk with me.
Yeah.
And I'll show you a better way.
Right.
And so that's what I know our goal is as parents, is showing them a more excellent way of how to do life. And because, like you mentioned before, like, kids are, they're made to test the boundaries. They are figuring it out. They don't come out of the womb knowing how to do life well.
Right. Mature.
They're just, you know, basically walking around in a dark room until somebody shows them the way. And so we as parents are the ones who have the opportunity to show them the way.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of leaving them in the dark and just telling them, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this, tell them, don't do that, but then show them, let's do this instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when kids have parents that are loving and firm at the same time, they'll respect those parents.
Yes.
And because they respect and value the parents have influence.
Mm-hmm.
And influence is so much better than control.
Yes.
Influence will carry on into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I want our girls to be, to grow up, to become adults who are friends with us.
Yes.
To where they still respect and value us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're friendly with them now. I think friendship is the long-term goal. But right now, they don't just need a friend. They need a parent.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We can have moments of, like, just being friends. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there are moments where,
of course,
you know, especially as they get older, especially with Nora, that we've had times of, like, we're just hanging out. We don't feel like we have to parent. We're just, we're just hanging out with you.
We're staying up late watching a movie.
Yeah.
Me and Mom would be doing this anyways.
Yep.
And you're just here
mm-hmm.
and we're just having fun.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. But absolutely, in these formative years, that is not the only thing.
Yeah.
That I would recommend being with your kids.
Right. Yeah. They need parents. Yeah.
Yep.
Good.
Awesome.
All right. Well, let's end it there.
All right.
Great. All right. For everybody who watched and listened, thank you. And once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.